Aren't you glad he did it for you and me? Thank the Lord for it. Take your Bibles this morning. Let's turn to the book of Leviticus in the Old Testament. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus in the Old Testament, chapter number 6. Leviticus chapter number 6. Turn there with me if you would. I want to read a couple of verses, maybe a few, beginning in verse 8 and down through verse number 13. Some of y'all may have heard last week as Brother Barton was preaching, he made reference to the fact that when I have preached for him down there in Panama City occasionally, that I preach like about 28 minutes. And some of y'all actually took him to be telling the truth when he said that. He was just preaching. He wasn't telling the truth at the time, all right? And so if you're expecting that, I may disappoint you. I'm not real sure. But, you know, we had such a great revival meeting, one of the best that we've had in recent years, I think. We had great attendance. I was a little worried about the services going long, but y'all kept coming back. And so Sunday morning, Sunday night, and the way that he dealt with stuff beginning Sunday night, dealing with temptation, day by day temptation, day by day dealing with sin, day by day praising God on Tuesday, and day by day growing stronger together. What a powerful set of messages that was, including the one on Sunday morning. So if for some reason you missed a message along the way, they are available. You just go to our website, faithbaptistchristianacademy.com, and you can go find the links there, and you can hear every one of those messages. And I would encourage you to do so if you missed any of them. Certainly if you have a problem dealing with temptation, or maybe you've yielded to temptation and sin, there's an answer. God has an answer of cleaning us all up through the precious blood of Jesus. I'm glad for it. Praising God, just so many things that he dealt with. So I'm just rejoicing in that, which of course leads me to this point as a pastor. I'd like to keep that going. You know, when we have something good like that going that stirs us and motivates us to be faithful in our attendance and faithful in our giving and just to love one another stronger and to be a little bit more focused on spiritual things like we should, and I think that's what revival did. Then it's my concern to keep that going, to somehow maintain that level. And so that's why we're going to read these verses here, something in the scriptures that jumped out at me, and maybe it'll be a help to you as well. Leviticus chapter 6, beginning in verse number 8, the Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command Aaron and his sons, saying, This is the law of the burnt offering. It is the burnt offering because of the burning upon the altar all night until the morning. And the fire of the altar shall be burning in it. And the priest shall put on his linen garment, and his linen breeches shall be put upon his flesh, and take up the ashes which the fire hath consumed with the burnt offering on the altar, and he shall put them aside or beside the altar. And he shall put off his garments and put on other garments, and carry forth the ashes without the camp into a clean place. And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out. And the fire shall burn wood on it every morning, and lay the burnt offering in order upon it, and he shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offerings." And here's the key verse. I want you to notice verse 13. "The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out." Now, if you'll turn over to chapter 9 of the book of Leviticus and verse number 24, I would ask this question before we even start talking about the verse I just read. Where does the fire come from? Now, sometimes I believe it's true, and you could read this in chapter 10, there is what is called strange fire. This is the excitement, exuberance, emotionality that might be developed among people. Now listen, in our day and age, there are groups of people that can get a fire started or a rumbling going or get some kind of event sparked and just stir up a fire storm, if you would, off of stuff that's not even true. All you got to do is watch the news media and see the Republicans versus the Democrats, and you'll see somebody's always starting a little fire to cause trouble for other people. And it seems like they're just content to do whatever damage they can do. It's amazing how many people have criticism but no answer, no solution. And I've always said this, if you're not going to help solve the problem, then you are part of the problem. Help with the solution, but it seems like everybody wants to point the finger of blame. But a firestorm can get started up. I think you get the idea. So where does the fire for us spiritually begin? It doesn't begin with us. It doesn't start with the preacher. It doesn't begin with an emotional song. It doesn't even begin with us all getting in a better spirit of fellowship. The last verse of Leviticus 9 says this, "And there came a fire out from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering," which is what we were just reading about, "and the fat, which when all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces." This is not a calling attention to men. It's not a calling attention to a movement. It's not calling attention to some emotional thing that's going on. It's saying this, the Lord sent fire and burned up the burnt offering. And then the people are told back in chapter number 6, the priests are, keep the fire burning. So here's my thought. The Lord sent us some fire and spirit of revival. We've even got children that are excited about it. They're already up here on the front row. We can just get their parents as excited as that youngin' is. But listen to me. The Lord sent the fire and got it burning. Now we got to keep it going. So I read that verse again back in chapter 6, verse 13. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. I want to preach to you for a few minutes on this subject of don't let the fire go out. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Bless it to our hearts and draw us ever closer. We're mindful of how good you have been to us this past week. In the middle of all that has been faced, you have blessed us. And God, we praise you for it. Now, Lord, help us to keep the fire that you started, to keep it going. In our homes, our families, our church, our personal lives, that you might be honored and glorified by all that is done. And we'll be careful to thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have any of the fire of God in you, any of the blessing, any of the exuberance that's sort of been developed and you've been stirred down in your soul, I want to mention this to you. Be careful because there's a lot of winds out there that like to blow that fire out. There are. Now, I guess everybody's got some fire stories that you could tell. We had our house burned years ago when we were living in another city and we went through that. That was a unique experience to say the least. And I won't go into all the belly aching that I could do about that. But I can remember as a kid, one little fire story I'll tell you about. Me and a friend of mine, he's been by recently, came by, brother, or you met him. And he and I were growing up together. I guess we was probably 6, 7, 8 years old at the time. And we got this smart idea. There was a corn patch out behind our house. Mine and his, we live right next door to one another. Now, y'all don't get ahead of me in the story. Some of y'all have already decided what happened. Well, anyway, this friend of mine led me astray and said, if we go out there and get some of that corn, we just break that corn off, and then we can do some popcorn. We ain't got to ask our mama about it. Let's just do it. You don't have to, back in the days when Jiffy Pop was a real thing. Anybody here know what Jiffy Pop is? Okay, several of y'all do. Good. The younger generation's not sure. Back before they had microwave popcorn, they had Jiffy Pop popcorn. And some of y'all ought to ask your parents about this. It would be an amazing science experiment to learn this. Anyway, we got the idea. He said, let's go break some corn off. And it was all hard and everything, so we shelled some of it. Well, we didn't really get any popcorn out of the deal. But in order to do that, you got to start a fire, Wes. And so we got a fire going right there by this whole patch of corn. I guess it's probably that day it looked like just 1,000 acres, but it's probably only 1 or 2. I don't know. We got a fire going, and then when the popcorn didn't pop like it's supposed to, we went inside and got Mama to fix us some. And we forgot one thing. We didn't put the fire out. And Bob, you know what happened? The whole patch of corn burned down. He said, what happened? Well, the fire went out in the field, and then the fire got started on our buttocks. That's exactly what happened. We got the fire beat out of us, I'm telling you right now. Now, so that's one of my fire stories. I guess every preacher's got one to tell somewhere about that, and it was clearly his fault to this day. I've asked God to forgive him many times for what happened. But there's wind that can blow and spread a fire, but there's also wind that can blow and put a fire out. You got to be careful when you decide to do something for God. The winds of doubt are going to come, and somehow the devil and his imps are going to try to get you to doubt God's word and doubt God's will and doubt God's wisdom in things as to how they may occur in your life. Have you ever doubted that God is watching over you and sometimes you think He's punishing you? Have you ever felt like, man, every time I turn around, the world is against me? It seems like even God Himself is fighting me every which way I go. Why don't things work out for me? Now listen, when you get the fire revival going and the Lord begins to stir something in you spiritually, the devil will send his winds of doubt and despair and discouragement to try to get you to lay down and give up and quit even right after a big victory. It doesn't have to be months of despair that makes you give up. Sometimes it can be right after a mountaintop victory, all of a sudden a deep valley comes. The devil will try to get you to doubt God's will and His wisdom and His Word. When those winds of doubt and defeat and discouragement come, remember alongside them, there's other methods of putting a fire out. There are the wet blankets of our day, and I would suggest that it could be the wet blanket of unconfessed sin that maybe the Lord dealt with your heart during revival and you still didn't get it right. He stirred you. He showed you. He pointed some things out to you. You know you need to get your priorities right with God, but you just didn't quite make that bridge from what you were hearing preached to where you need to be. And I'm going to tell you, the wet blankets of unconfessed sin of the world, the flesh, and the devil, there are even wet blankets, if you would, of people who will try and discourage you and keep you from being so much on fire for the Lord like you need to be. As I read these words, I think of the fire that came in that day as a result of a burnt offering that was made, as a result of God sending His fire, as a result of the Lord's people following the command of God. I think that's extremely important in all of it. What happens when the fire burns? Well, when the fire burns, certainly you're pleasing God by it. When the fire burns, some priorities begin to be straight. They had to do these things in order for them to be right with God. They couldn't put these things off until they had done everything else they wanted to do. One thing I found out, when revival stirs your heart, you get your priorities straight. And when you get your priorities straight, you become focused on those things which are most important in life. Now listen to me. There's a lot of things in life we can love. Food, recreation, sports, all types of things that might be out there that will gain our attention. But nothing's more important than your relationship with Jesus Christ. Nothing's more important than your relationship with your family. Nothing's more important than having the bonds up between you and those that are brothers and sisters in Christ. Don't let those things that are the most important be sort of supplanted or kicked out of the way by things that are needful but not necessarily as important. You remember the case of Mary and Martha, when Martha was cumbered about many things that had to be done in the kitchen. But Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus, worshiping Him. And the Lord reminded us that Martha, 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 Martha. Listen, whenever the Lord says your name one time, He's calling you. When He says it's twice, generally He's rebuking you just a little bit. Martha, Martha, you're worried about stuff you don't need to be worried about. You need to be focused on that which is most important in life. To me, that's a lot of what this fire burning. When the fire burns, it brings light. Who hadn't done that before? Lit a torch somewhere or maybe used some type of fire to give you some light. When the fire burns, there's warmth brought to a cold family or a cold heart. Whenever the fire burns, often there is sterilization that may take place. Many of us have done that just to sterilize a needle somewhere along the way, just to prick a thorn maybe. When the fire burns, there often is destruction of that which needs to be burned out of the way. I'm just saying this to you this morning. When the fire burns, there's a lot of things going on. The people of Israel were told by God that the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. What does this mean for us? Well, let me give you these quick points and we'll be done with the message today. I think when the fire burns like it's supposed to, it indicates for us that there has to be, in order for us to keep the fire burning, there has to be a walk with God. It is one thing, we all have routines, don't we? Brother Barton talked a little bit about that. You got your routine, he's got his routine, I've got my routine. And it's not just what we do maybe as we get ready in the morning. He described to you last week a little bit about how he got out of the bed. First, he puts his foot down, he goes and brushes his teeth, he's got all that little routine he does. And then, I don't know if you caught it, but he said in 11 minutes, he's out the door. Are there any women here that have ever made 11 minutes? Could we have any for 11 hours? Maybe you raise your hand. Husbands that know your wives take at least that long, raise your hand. Surely, I know you know I'm telling the truth. But he said 11 minutes. And I thought about it. Maybe I ought to time that. Several of y'all are going to do it. Y'all got that straightened out over there? Anyway, maybe I'm going to time it one of these days. Now, I can do it pretty quick. I don't know if I can do 11 minutes. That's a fast shower, shave, deodorant. That's a pretty fast deal. But my point is this. His routine can become anybody's routine or your routine that may be yours forever. But you can have a routine and not walk with God. Get up every morning. Now listen to me, I'm trying to help you. You get up every morning, you do your routine about getting ready, and you head out to work. Whether you stay for eat breakfast or grab a cup of coffee or something like that, and you head out to work, and you go through your whole day, you don't think about God one time. Now listen, if you got revived and stirred, I hope you got on the right track and you realize this. I'm going to have a routine, but it's going to include the Lord and not exclude Him. Don't you realize this? You don't have any idea what you will face in a given day. Do you assume that because I started my routine like I did the last 365 days and nothing went wrong, I had nothing out of the ordinary, nothing unusual happened, that today, you know, you get in a lot of trouble when you begin to assume things like that, and you can face a day with your routine working, with your work routine going in gear, with you making all the necessary stops and starts and turns left and right in your automobile, and yet if you leave the Lord out, something could happen during the day when you need the Lord's help. So I say to you this, and I think it's very important, that we're going to keep the fire burning. You got to walk with God. And you got to walk with God, listen to me, at church. But you got to walk with God at home. And you got to walk with God at work. Well, how in the world do you do that? How do you take the Lord with you? Don't you understand this, that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit which you have of God? You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which is the Lord's. You're not going to go anywhere that you don't take Him with you. And you can have His presence and His blessing if you just realize this. The Lord got the fire started in my life. I want to keep it going. I've got to walk with God. That means I've got to find some time to read His Word every day. Now, you might be so busy, get up so late, that you're so busy when the day starts, you don't take time to read your Bible. Let me encourage you, somewhere along the way, it might be a break at lunch, it might be a break in the afternoon, wherever you have just 5 minutes off, that you take some time, or late in the evening when you sit down, but you need some time during the day. Now, I'm talking about keeping the fire burning. If you want it to go out, then the winds of doubt and discouragement can blow it out. Wet blankets can put it out. But if you want to keep the fire going, you got to make this book a priority. The Bible says in verse number 8, and the Lord spake. Do you see your Bible as God speaking? Because that's what it is. Verse number 9, command Aaron and his sons. This is a direct command from God. This is not a suggestion. This is not, hey man, why don't you try this? God doesn't look down from heaven and say, well, I sure wish y'all would try my way. No, there are things that God directs, commands, offers to us not as options, but as directives to accomplish His purpose in our life. So I submit to you, if we're going to keep the fire burning, we got to walk with God. Many years ago, I worked in construction. And of course, that was back when I was not quite the hunk of a man that I am today. The hunk was in a different place. I was a little bit, Caleb, I could do a little bit more in those days. Back when I was a bit younger. And I can remember I worked in construction. We worked in brick and block work. I worked with an uncle and a cousin of mine. Now my uncle was just a heathen before he got saved. I mean, he was just a terrible, terrible heathen. I mean, it was a six pack of beer. It was every afternoon. When we got off work, he'd stop by and get something to drink. I mean, it was just a terrible, terrible situation. Now he got saved later on, and I'm thankful that he's in heaven today. But in those days, I carried in my back pocket rather than my wallet. Oh, back in them days, I didn't have any money. I ain't got nothing now. But I carry a wallet here so I can sit balanced. You know what I'm talking about? If one cheek's bigger than the other, you got to have something to balance it. Amen? So anyway, that's me. I woke two of y'all up right there. Several of y'all already gone to sleep on me. Nevertheless, back in that day, I did not carry a wallet. I just carried money in my front pocket, usually change. But I had a Bible about just a little bit bigger than my wallet, it was a whole Bible, had a snap on it. And I'd open that snap up. Well, every time we took a break for a RC and a moon pie, or we had a honeymoon in the morning, we took that break, I'd break out my Bible, pop that little snap on it, and go to read it. Lunchtime, now listen now, some of y'all think, we're just trying to show off. No, what? God is my witness. I just knew this much. I was a pitiful Christian. I was not near what I ought to be as a child of God. I'm just a young teenager, but I need the Lord's help. I really do want to be right with God. And as a teenager, I didn't wait till I became... Listen to me, teenagers. Don't wait till you become an adult to decide you want to live for God. Just because you turn 21, all of a sudden you're going to get spiritual? No, probably you're going to do at 21 what you did at 20, and 20 what you did at 19. If you don't make up your mind to decide to serve God as a teenager, you're going to make it harder on yourself later. But I pull that little Bible out, and I'd read it at break time, and I'd read it at lunchtime, and my uncle would sit. We all sat in a little semicircle around where we was eating at until I finally had to move. He made a point to always tell as filthy a joke as he could right there in my presence. I'm reading the Word of God, Brother Jesse, and my uncle's telling as filthy a joke as you could possibly find. Vulgarity as far as it could go. He said, what'd you do? I moved. I went and sat somewhere else, but I kept reading my Bible. Now listen to me. It would have been easy to let that put the fire out. I didn't want that to happen. If I can find time to read my Bible in the midst of that mess, you can find time to read your Bible when you're trying to decide on what sub you're getting. Now, it might not be at lunch that you want to eat to read. Maybe you want to do it in the morning. I don't care when you do it. I'm just saying that I'm just trying to help you. If you want to keep the fire revival going, then you've got to make up your mind that you're going to walk with God. Secondly, I think this is important. Number two, and this is really, really vital, you must maintain a willing heart. I saw something this week, and I mentioned it, I think, to Brother Mitch Clemson earlier. Brother Barton preached longer than he normally does. He preached a little long Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday night. And I'll be honest with you, I was a little worried about it. Brother Reynolds and I was talking about it after, I guess, Wednesday night. And I said, you know, a long message like that, some folks liable not to come back. But you know what I found out, Grayson? People kept coming back. And you know what I think? I think it was this. I don't think it was just that the preaching was great, but it was. I don't think just that the singing was great, but it was. I don't think it's just that we enjoyed fellowship with one another and it's revival. I'm a member of the church. I should be there. I don't think it's just that. I think it was this. People had a willing heart to say, what does the Lord have for me? Man, that changes. Any of you have strong-willed children? Several of y'all ain't raising your hand, but you ought to have it up right now. Maybe both of them just say, praise the Lord. You got strong-willed. I got a book in my office on training the strong-willed child. You open it up and there's a belt laying right... No, I'm just kidding. That's not always the answer. But how difficult is it to deal with a strong-willed child? Have you found out this? That you discipline them about one thing and you got to go back and do it again? Over the same thing. And you say things like this, didn't I teach you better? Didn't I just get through whooping you for that? And it might be the next day. For some of them, it's 1 hour, then the next hour, then the next hour. It's always interesting in our Christian school to find out sometimes about strong-willed children. Just walk down the hallway and see who's sitting out in the hallway. And then you can see it. Of course, I know there's many more that probably should be in the hallway. How many of you that are now adults, your parents would testify that you were a strong-willed child? Leah, raise your hand. Matthew, raise your hand. Yes, indeed. You know what I found out? When you got a willing heart, it goes better with the parent and the child when you got a willing heart. And I reckon if we're hard, stubborn, strong-willed adults, then our heavenly parent, it makes it hard for him to do things in our life that he wants to do. And I guarantee you, just like you parents, you don't want to have to do more discipline. Not necessarily harder, but just consistent. You just don't want to have to do it all the time. Will I ever get through to this child? Yeah, you will. Just don't give up. Let me encourage you. Keep at it. Just be consistent. But there's a God in heaven who will always be consistent with us. Never let us down. And you're not going to keep the fire burning if you develop a stubborn, strong will that's resistant to God's Word and for what the Lord's trying to do in your life. You want to keep the fire burning? I know you do. And as your pastor, I want to encourage you to do that by, number one, walking with God. Number two, maintain a willing heart. Number three, and I'm done, and that is this. Get busy working for God. Now listen to me. You can get it started. I've been pastoring a long time. I think Brother Reynolds would back me on this. He's pastored as long as I have. And I think he'd back me on this. That you can see people within a church get revived, and within 2 weeks, it's gone. I've seen it happen in my own life. I've seen it happen in our church. I've seen it happen in your life. And it's not that it wasn't genuine. It's just that, listen to me, if you don't get, this is one of Brother Kevin's favorite little sayings here, if you don't get plugged in, if you don't find somewhere to get plugged in, you won't have any power. And eventually, what stirred in you will wane away. It'll dissipate. It'll die out just as surely as you throw a wet blanket on a fire or a great wind comes by and blows out a match. That's the same thing that'll happen. Well, where can I get plugged in? Find somewhere that, listen, God has given every one of us in this building talents and gifts to use in His service. Yours might be like Jared's is, working the sound booth in the back and operating all that technical equipment back there that I don't know hardly very much about. It might be doing something as little as bringing me a bottle of water and making sure I got one every week. It might be filling in on the piano playing over here like Miss Lori does. I saw her there and I looked at Michael and I thought about that movie coming out, Beauty and the Beast. But anyway, we'll move on. I just want to encourage a man whose age and waistline's the same. Let's move on. Glory to God. That was awesome. That's what I remember about the revival. Trying to keep y'all stirred up just a little bit. Well, I don't know how to do nothing, Brother Sellers. I don't have any education. I don't have any book learning. I don't have any college degree. I don't have anything, but I'd like to do something. Well, we got a job for people that don't have any sense. It's called ushers. We'd be glad for you to have one. I'm just kidding. Brother Alvin, I said that for you. Dave, you're welcome. Well, I can't. Listen, right now while we're in here, do you know there's some folks working in the back, working with little kids back there? Now, some of y'all, if you ever work with them, you won't do it that one time and then, you know, take about 3 months off. But you could help. Well, I don't know how to do anything. Well, if I'm doing it, can you stand right by me and just be an encouragement and be a gopher? Go for this and go for that. When I was growing up, my daddy got on to me one time. He was working out in the sunshine and I was over in the shade. He said, come here. He said, when I'm working in the sunshine, you in the sunshine. I said, well, ain't nothing for me to do. He said, yeah, there is. Stand in the sun. His point was, if he was going to sweat, I was going to sweat right there with him, even if I didn't do anything but hand him a tool. And you just didn't want to hand him a Phillips head when he wanted a flathead screwdriver. Or you're liable to get it back through your ear. What are you saying, Brother Sutton? I'm saying this much. You got to find somewhere to get plugged in. Yesterday, as we were working on that roof, not everybody could do some of the skilled work, but others could be there and hand something to somebody. Or be there to say, hey, that's the way to go. Hey, good job. Just be an encouragement. Help out. Hey, listen, surely you could rake some leaves, mow the grass. Maybe you could work in the nursery. There's a lot. Well, now hold on, preacher. Hold on just a minute. Now, I got revived, and that's all that spiritual stuff. But don't ask me to do nothing practically. Then you know what's going to happen to you? The fire's going to go out. Because you have a willing heart, but you can't get your feet and your hands in gear, it won't last. Mark my words, it will not last if you don't get plugged in and do something that uses the gifts that God's given you. Then maybe your gift is encouragement, then come pat somebody on the back. Maybe your gift is this. Well, I can't do none of that roofing stuff. Can you make a sandwich? Now, I know some of y'all men have convinced your wives you can't make a sandwich. So, and you know this much, a sandwich made by somebody else always tastes better. Can I get an amen right there? But if you can't make a sandwich, can you buy one at Subway and bring it to me? I mean, there's a lot of things you can do. Keep the fire burning. Keep the fire burning. Keep the fire burning. Morning, evening, keep the fire burning. Keep the fire burning. How do you do that? You walk with God. How do you do that? You keep a willing heart. How do you do that? You get plugged in and find something to do for the cause of Jesus Christ and try and help and go forward from there. I'll close with this. Many, many years, since we're talking about the fire, many years ago I heard the story of a church that was burning. It almost burned down to the ground. Many of the people in the community came, and it was back in the days when they had to have the bucket brigade. They grab a bucket of water after and pass it along the line. Well, as they got to the end and they could not save the church and it had just completely been burned, the pastor looked over and he noticed a man that was helping there that had never been. It was a local atheist that they had tried to reach many times. And he walked over to him and he said, "Hey," he said, "I ain't never seen you down here at church before." He said, "Well, I ain't never seen the church on fire before." You know what might make a difference in who we get for friend day? If we'll stay on fire. John Wesley said this, founder of Methodism, when they asked him the secret of his great ministry and how he reached people. He said, "I just set myself on fire and folks come to watch me burn." I believe this much, if people see a fire in us, maybe it'll be contagious and catch hold of them. Surely this week, as we saw Brother Harry Robbins graduate to glory, it reminded all of us, and it should. When tragedies like this happen, it brings us back to saying, what are our priorities? Is the Lord first in my life? Is the Lord first in my spouse's life? Is the Lord first in my family's life? Let's make sure we put Him first and don't let the fire go out. Let's stand together. Father, thank You today for Your Word and for the privilege of preaching it to people who are willing to listen to it. And Lord, I pray, I honestly believe with all my heart that You started a fire revival in so many. Help us to keep it burning. Help us to fan those flames, to add some fuel, to do what we can to keep that fire going for You. And Father, I pray that You'll help us, that the fire that is in us will be contagious and spread to those that we work with, those that we live with, those that we rub shoulders with day in and day out, that our lives, revived, stirred, and on fire, might count for Jesus Christ. To Him be all honor and glory and praise. And we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name.